He's thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the commissioners. Good afternoon. Just to introduce those at the table, so myself, Mr. Hobell, Councillor for RCL. To my left, Mr. David Whiteman, who's the CEO for RCL Group. To my right, Mr. Dean Wells, planner. And we also have at the back of the room Mr. Ben Espin. So they'll each come to their presentations at the appropriate time. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I've handed up some lead submissions. Yes. I'll go through those.
Yes, if you take this through, that's be helpful.
So these submissions are on behalf of RCL, Brisbane Property Limited. RCL makes submissions and further submissions on the Jackson Point Zone of the proposed district plan. RCL owns a large part of the area shown as RHD on the Jackson Point Structure Plan and has advanced plan provisions to support important opportunities for the affordable or entry-level sector product market. Hand-me-downs land is characteristics that make it suitable for such urban development, which is a scarce resource in the district. The evidence for RCL is that there is no more suitable site in the Lockett sector in this regard, and the proposed provisions which enable high density development are an efficient use of this area. And the areas of interest to RCL are those listed there soon. Do you want me to go through those? Take those as read?
Yes, we can take those as read. I'm very familiar with all of these areas.
So paragraph 6, RCL will retain interest in a section on the eastern side of the village, which they currently subdivide into lots of housing, and also owns 41.6 hectare lot to the south of the Jackson Point residential neighbourhoods. Currently this site is mostly used for farming and wastewater disposal fields, for which RCL seeks education facilities and land use provision. So just to give an overview of these submissions, the submissions for RCL, they support the proposed district plan provisions which retain the purchasing private plan change 44. Seek new rural provisions to improve the plan, drawing on experience and implementation of development to date. Support the proposed plan extension of Area B to include a small triangular parcel of land. Seek to amend road access, acknowledgement of the structure plan, and set provisions for educational facilities for the 41.6 hectare lot. In terms of evidence, evidence has been pre-lodged by Mr. Ben Espy, visual and landscape evidence on behalf of RCL. That evidence supports the conclusions reached in the landscape reports appended to the Section 32 report, as it applies to the hand-me-downs land, and his landscape and visual amenity evidence supporting the RCL submission. Mr. Gary Dent, natural hazard, confirms the appropriateness of proposed education facility land use for the 41.6 hectare site in relation to potential flood channels. Dr. Jeremy Trevithan, noise confirms proposed education facilities on that 41.6 hectare lot would have minimal reverse sensitivity effects. Mr. Peter White, engineer, addresses proposed education facilities as well and suitability to accommodate services. And Mr. Dan Wells, planning, sets out the planning background to the RCI and Andy Downs land and the changes sought to the proposed plan, concluding in the proposed plan, with the amendments proposed in the evidence, provides the most appropriate provisions to report the proposed objective of the zone. So just going over plan change 44 and just giving background to that, commissioners, in 2012 RCL initiated private plan change request for plan change 44. The hearing for plan change 44 commenced in November 2013 before being adjourned for a period to allow work with council and submitters and reconvened in July 2015. There was a full hearing process with extensive information produced and commissioners providing their report recommendations in January 2016. Now, the rationale behind plan change 44 acknowledged by the commissioners and as remains the case with the submission on this proposed plan is to make efficient use of the scarce natural resource of the Wakatipu Basin, readily available residential land not subject to major environmental or other constraints or encumbrances. The commissioners for PC 44 agreed that based on the evidence and statutory considerations, the land was suited to bring online a large volume of modestly priced housing that provides efficient, readily deliverable housing solutions that contribute to one to the basin's housing supply. The proposed district plans were prepared to incorporate provisions from as amended through Plan Change 44 hand-me-downs, which is strongly supported by RCL. In essence, RCL seeks to retain the outcomes of PC 44 that have been incorporated in this proposed plan. The evidence of Messrs. SV and Wells confirm the suitability of density rules for the hand-me-downs area as the most appropriate method of implementing the Jack's Point zone objective. Just to note, sir, that PC 44 was subject to appeals to the Environment Court, at least in relation to the hand-me-downs area. That area is beyond challenge in terms of those appeals now, so we say that that matter should be given some weight in this process. In terms of improvements to the plan sought through the submissions, RCL has commenced subdivision and residential development of their land in the hand-me-downs area. As a result, valuable knowledge has been gained on how the provisions could operate more effectively and efficiently to support the proposed residential development. Mr. Wells sets out detailed amendments to the proposed plan and his evidence to better achieve engineering projects and points out. Briefly, the extension of the Area B. RCL supports the district plan extension of that Area B activity to incorporate the small triangular parcel of land in the hand-me-downs area. And Mr. Espy's evidence supports the suitability of this extension from a landscape perspective. And Mr. Wells confirms his view that this is the most appropriate method for achieving the Jack's Point zone objective. Road access. RCL has sought acknowledgement of an additional road access point on the structure plan. And this new road access has been consented by council as part of the first and second subdivision stages for the hand-me-downs area, in which the traffic safety, efficiency and suitability of this proposed access point was assessed. And NZTA has also acknowledged its written approval as part of that consenting process. This additional access road recognises a practical situation of enabling appropriate access to the residential development of the Hanley Downs area and is an appropriate method for achieving the Jack's Point objective. On the education facilities land use, RCL seeks provision for education facilities land use on the 41.6 hectare lot. The current zoning of this land provides for recreation activities and associated buildings. Mr. Espy has assessed landscape and visual amenity matters for an education facility land use, with proposed limits on buildings of 7 metres height and maximum coverage of up to 5,000 square metres, and design requirements. Mr. Espy considers it to have no more effect than activities currently provided for. And Mr. Wells sets out proposed provisions to address submitted concerns. And the amendments sought by RCL sets proactive provision for education facility land use options to support appropriate use of this land. And with the amendments proposed, it is considered the provision achieves the Jack's Point zone objective. Just turning to submitter evidence, which you've already heard, commissioners. RCL's noted the legal submission evidence for the Jack's Point group, which seek amended provisions in respect of the Hanley Downs area, and particularly the Area E, including changes to density, visitor accommodation, and open space provisions. It's been noted for RCL that these matters were not foreshadowed in the originating submission and are beyond the scope of those submissions. Council for Jack's Point Group outlined the legal considerations and scope, and I'm just noting there the High Court has delivered a recent decision which addressed scope in the context of plan reviews and has confirmed there the orthodox approach of a reasonably conceived logical consequence test and the ability to take a holistic approach to submissions. In my submission, this outlines the scope available to the commissioners in determining the plan provisions as distinct from a submitter relying on other submissions for revision sought in its submission and evidence to the commissioners. if the commission has considered the evidence to be within scope of the originating submission, in my submission, this is a factor in weighing the evidence. And just to conclude, Mr. Wells has assessed the proposed provisions against the various statutory requirements in his evidence. And with the changes set out in Mr. Wells' evidence, it is considered the proposed district plan provisions are the most appropriate to achieve the purpose of the Act. In particular, having regard to the management function in Section 5 of the Act, as emphasised in the opening submissions to the Council, and as referred to submissions from the full March 2016 hearing, so the early hearing in the process, it is considered the proposed provisions for the Hanley Downs area, with the amendments sought, make the most efficient use of a scarce resource within the district. I'm happy to take any questions.
You've raised the issue of the RHDP. We've also heard evidence suggesting amendments to the density and layout of RHDF, splitting it into two. Does RCL have a position on that? I imagine it's one of the areas listed in paragraph 5. Is that acquiescence or
perhaps you should direct the question to me?
Mr. Wells can address that if you want at the time for his presentation.
Yeah, that's okay. So, but and you will have time. Given that we have a lunch menu.
But we can consider it during that time and then come back with
decisions consistent with the
Do we have any questions from the audience on the things which we have seen?
Oh, just one. You mentioned earlier on, I think in the context of PC 44, that was the weight we should place on that. Now, as I understand it, the I'm not sure. The impression of this morning's appeals have basically been done and dusted, but I don't think, as we sit here now, that is quite the case, is it?
It's going through a consent order process at the moment, as I understand it.
That's what we understood. It's in a process.
It's in a process. In relation to the handing downs aspect of PC 44, there's no live appeals as such.
I respect your own land.
In relation to
that, that's clear.
And that was the point I was making.
No, thank you, that's fine.
Just assuming that you've been mentioning that Jackson's point of illness, just the table, is not. Item 20 in years. Yeah, but is that just a table? I was just wondering, was it all bit out of this?
Sorry, yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to. There's no further questions. Happy to move on to Mr. Whiteman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and fellow commissioners. My name is David Whiteman and I'm the director of RCL Real Estate Pty. RCL is a parent company of RCL Hanley Downs Limited, and RCL Hanley Downs owns the landowner's Hanley's Farm, which is best described in the structure plan as an RHD A through to E. RCL Hanley Downs has owned RHD E since 2013. And has had an interest in the balance land as mortgagee since 2007. It took ownership of the balance land in 2016 by exercising its rights as mortgagee in possession and foreclosing on the borrower. In addition to this, RCL has entered into contracts of sale for the land described as RHD F and G, together with RHD SD 1 and 2, together with some land known as the Spur Land. Further, RCL subsidiaries own Lot 12, which is commonly known as infrastructure land, at Jack's Point, and holds defaulted mortgages over the land at Jack's Point Village, which is owned by Jack's Point Village Limited. The land to be controlled there is known as Lot 2, and Lot 4 through to Lot 12. RCL is also a controlling member in the Jack's Point Residents and Owners Association structure. In the context of the Jack's Point Zone, RCL owns or controls the largest parcel or developable yield within the zone. My background is in property development and property finance. I've been involved with the assets of RCL Group for in excess of 10 years and became Executive Director of RCL Real Estate Proprietary Limited in late 2013. I hold a Bachelor of Business majoring in Accounting, sub majoring in Economics, and I'm also a certified practicing accountant. I guess in opening I have to say that I'm a little surprised and disappointed in seeing some of the evidence that has been tabled by those representing various Jack's Point entities. In particular, insofar as it relates to challenging the density for RHDD. Proposed density for RHDD and for Henley's Farm overall was dealt with through plan change 44 process, and indeed these parties who now choose to challenge the density fully supported it in plan change 44 and were intricately involved in the analysis that supported the density arguments during the plan change process. The suggestion that they were misled by RCL and its consultants and of all that they had not understood the density provisions is offensive. Commissioners should also be made aware of the fact that the parties representing the various Jack's Point entities have entered into a binding and reciprocal agreement with RCL, but all parties will not object to or contest the outcome of Plan Change 44 insofar as it applies to each party's land, including the district planner and review. If it would assist commissioners, I am happy to make this document available. In respect to the JPROA, I am vexed as to how they can make a submission to the district plan review. As one controlling member, I can assure you that we have not been made aware of any properly constituted meeting of the JPROA where a submission to the district plan review has been tabled. RCL is a residential development company based in Melbourne, Australia. Its core business is the development of master plan residential communities. Over time, RCL has developed small-scale projects and larger-scale master plan communities, yielding up to 4,000 lots. The management team at RCL, led by me, has developed and delivered in excess of 7,000 lots over the past 10 years. RCL is not a land banker, it is an active residential developer. RCL's focus is at the affordable end of the market through to traditional second and third home buyers, rather than the luxury end of the scale. It is foremost a land developer, but is also building a track record of delivering built form residential construction. With a history and experience of developing a considerable number of lots over the past 10 years and a number of large-scale master plan communities, we understand that projects such as Henley's Farm will take many years to develop and go through several cycles. We know from experience that markets exist for many different lot types within the life cycle of the project, and that a standard size lot in year one will be bigger than a standard size lot in year 10. The dynamics around this are many and can include the size and type of family unit, which will change over time. The key rationale for Henley's Farm yield outcome was to ensure that there would be a varied palette of lot types and density mixes that worked to the size topography and to the market dynamics. This naturally saw greater density around lot RHDD, although, importantly, it was a lower density than the previously approved ODP for the site. The original approval was considered to be commercially unviable by us. A key part of the future success of Henley's Farm would be to offer well-priced land with a minimum of encumbrances such as covenants, body corporate fees, and overly complicated and opaque design review panels that can leave aspiring homeowners defeated and considerably out of pocket. The outcome of Plan Change 44 in relation to the Henley's Farm site was acceptable to RCL and has provided confidence for RCL to commit to a substantial general scheme infrastructure spend to bring council scheme wastewater disposal and potable water supply into the Jack's Point Zone. This considerable infrastructure spend is only viable with the certainty of the Plan Change 44 decision and the confidence that it is an enduring outcome. RCL has not delayed in bringing Henley's Farm to the market, having already sold in excess of 175 sections, committing to a rolling release program and commencing construction. Importantly, RCL has released competitively priced sections in each market release, the lowest price being $200,000. RCL has considerable experience in developing and delivering affordable housing, achieving both high standards of amenity and comparatively affordable pricing. It has successfully done this on a number of projects in Australia, an important way to provide for entry-level and the affordable secondary market is to offer relatively small sections that can be developed with a minimum of compliance costs. This includes standalone houses on small sections as well as attached terrace home typologies. This was an important point made and accepted at the plan change for the 40 years. We are realistic about the challenges of such product in a small market. However, it is important to be able to develop affordable product at Hamlin's Farm, as the project offers considerable potential in addressing the affordability challenges faced within the wider catchment. I therefore support the density ranges provided for in the proposed district plan zoning, but would like to see the plan made more consistent in enabling such outcomes. The district plan review has also provided RCL an opportunity to ask for the infrastructure land, Block 12 on DP364700, be rezoned. This land has potential to be more efficiently used than the current zoning provides. We have in mind that the site could be useful to be developed for educational and or recreational purposes, and have often been approached by commercial community groups interested in developing for such purposes. We tasked consultants with advising on how the zoning of this land could be amended to appropriately enable such development. Recognising that development will need to be relatively low density and visually non-intrusive to the adjoining neighbourhoods of Jack's Point, we are aware of the wastewater easements over the site and are confident, given the size of the site, that we will be able to negotiate the relocation of these easements or otherwise through steps under the property law. In conclusion, Hanley's Farm will fill a gap in the market for a range of residential development options, including entry-level or lower-priced housing and sections. This was a core rationale and accepted principle in the approval of Plan Change 44. Reopening the debate on the approved densities of Hanley's Farm creates significant uncertainty for RCL and causes us to question the rationale around the significant infrastructure spend that we intend and are committed to. In the wider context of the debate on housing affordability within the area, this uncertainty only creates delay and adds to cost. We can either be part of the problem here or part of the solution. The outcome for RCL and Plan Change 44 goes a considerable way to being part of the solution. Hence, what all affected parties agreed to in Plan Change 44 should stand. On Lot 12, DP364700, RCL seeks a suitability for an educational or recreational facility to be established in a way that will integrate well with the White Jacks Point Hamlin's Farm. Thank you.
It's quite interesting to be reading a third paragraph, because the impression we had yesterday from Mr. Darby was that the differences between your positions were quite almost insignificant. But obviously, from what you're saying here, the differences are quite significant. First of all, I do want to understand, though, is that with the density provisions that Mr. Wells has set out in his evidence, were they agreed to by the commissioners on PC 44?
Yes, they were. Absolutely.
Okay, that's all I wanted to understand. Thank you.
I have no questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have Mr. Eastby.
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioners. I don't have a written summary document. My brief of evidence was quite concise, although the appendices were long. But I'm not going to go through the appendices now, but I can briefly take you through my circulated evidence. I'm happy to answer any questions, any commissioners. So, in my introduction, I set out that I was involved on behalf of RCL in PC 44, when it was proposed and when it went to a hearing. And so, appended to my circulated brief, I've got the original landscape assessment report that went in with PC 44 when it was proposed, and also my evidence from the commission hearing for PC 44 when it was a hearing. So then as far as the circulated brief goes in relation to the district plan review, I was specifically asked to comment on a few individual issues. Firstly, the reports that I produced for PC 44, and that's what I've just talked about, the appended there. Secondly, a small triangular extension to RHDB. And thirdly, the proposal to create an open space community and recreation activity area at the south end of Jack's Point. So that's what I cover in my brief. Firstly, the small extension to RHDB, that's the small triangular area that I show in my figure one. Ultimately, I conclude there, commissioners, that the only potential effects really are on the immediate neighbours, and I go through those and I'm satisfied there's not a significant effect there. Then I move on to the proposed open space community and recreation area at the south end of the existing Jack's Point structure plan. And I note there that since the RCL submission was lodged, they've amended what they seek in relation to that area. Provided more controls, if you like, as we heard, a height restriction, footprint, maximum footprint restriction, and reducing the new activities that provide for educational activities. Previously, it was community activities, which has got a bit of a wider definition. And there I go through and analyse that item that's sought in the RCL submission. Again, really, I find that the only potential effects are on immediate neighbours. Discuss those, and due to a few mitigating factors there, I'm satisfied that the new activities that will be provided for if the RCL submission is accepted don't have any significant effects over and above the operative situation and the modified situation. So that's all I wanted to say in summary, commissioners.
Okay, awesome. Now, first of all, a little triangle of land. I asked a question of Dr. Reed yesterday, and my understanding is she had no major concerns. Is that, you understand it?
Well, I wasn't here when Dr. Reed spoke. Okay. But that's my understanding.
Okay. The other question relates to that the area that's proposed to be used for educational activities. I take it that wasn't part of Change 44. That's a completely new concept, isn't it? And it's basically being looked at as a potential primary school site, either state, private, whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, that's
all I've got.
Returning to the triangle, easiest way to describe. In your paragraph 4.4, you say any potential effects, etc., that you describe on the amenity. I'm just wondering, when you say that, is it visual amenity that you're limiting yourself to, or all aspects of
it? Well, within my area of expertise, visual amenity.
Set aside a month easier if we take a lunch from doing it now through the two and that would be the opportunity just to clarify that question I asked of you, Mr. Hodel.
Yes.
And then we can deal with Mr. Wells in one continuous flow. So I'll apologize for the problem.